Hey everyone, it's time for another episode of the Proactive Real Estate Agent. Hello, hello, hello to you all. And I bet you're wondering where I've been. I have not had a chance during this pandemic, this global pandemic, to sit down and get back to my podcast. It's been just a whirlwind of activity. Working from home like most of you and just cranking out the business and just staying proactive and staying busy. I have not had a chance. I thought I would, thinking that things would slow down, but nope. The pandemic made it busier. More activities to do, more following up, more clients, just really kind of taking advantage of a what some people call a new beginning, right? We're, I don't know how many months we are, 5, 6 months into this whole global pandemic, and it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot of people's perceptions of business and how they work. Some of our brick and mortar real estate firms are going through a growing phase, are readjusting their business policies, and a lot of their agents are not going into work. Into the office for sales meetings. Everything's being conducted via probably Zoom or Microsoft Teams and other software products that you can have meetings online. And I think that's just fantastic. I think a lot of these brokerage firms who are the brick and mortar, the staples of the industry, the ones that have been in business for 100 plus years and who are just stuck on being a physical location, having physical locations and having their agents come into the office, they're seeing the new opportunities with a virtual workforce, much like an EXP. And I am sure they are just going like gangbusters. Because that's their whole outfit. Their whole outfit is virtual academies, virtual university campuses they have, virtual learning, virtual teams, team building. I know their stock price has been going through the roof. I think last I've seen it was $30+. And I think before that, I was like $9 and $19. So they're growing. And taking advantage of the new times. And I hope you all are still being proactive in your business. Do not take a pandemic like this where you're not in the office or you're working from home and you're getting easily distracted. No, no, no. If you are a proactive real estate agent, you see this as an opportunity to further grab more of your market share. To further increase your abilities, add to your toolbox. You should be doing more things virtually online to add to your toolbox to help your clients. It's a grand opportunity to do that right now. And I know that times could be tough for some of you where you feel a little despair. Should I be going out and meeting people, meeting strangers and showing them properties? That is definitely a concern of mine as well. And that is why I've always advocated that you all become listing agents from the first day. Don't be intimidated by a listing. Dive right into it. Gain all the knowledge you can and become a listing agent. And let the buyer agents work for you, hypothetically, right? Let them bring the buyers to your listings. It's much more manageable. There's more brand awareness. There's more longevity. And you're not spending money on one-offs. And when I say one-offs, you're spending money on leads, where you might buy 100 leads and you might have one or two of them or three of them are going to close. And the people selling you those leads are saying, well, see that? We give you 100 leads, and two or three of them close, it makes you well worth your investment to us. Well, guess what? Those two or three leads are not even guaranteed. Maybe you take them out, you drive them around, you show them a million houses, you waste your gas, waste your time, you're away from your family. You put yourself in jeopardy. Put yourself in jeopardy through the virus, and you put yourself in jeopardy through your personal safety as well, meeting strangers, correct? That's been in the news lately. A lot of real estate agents are getting harassed or attacked, and some even murdered, sadly. So you're spending money buying leads from a company who is just scraping the internet and trying to get people to look at their products, which may be their homes, and they kind of click pages and they're a little bit of interest. They want a little more information on a certain house. And then they take that little bit of an interest and then they sell it to you. Hey, why don't you contact this lady because she seems to have an interest in 123 Main Street. That's what buying a lead basically is. And I know a lot of you are probably saying, hey, I make good money from my leads that I buy from online sources. And I'm happy for you. That just means you're good at turning a lead into a client. That's fantastic. You're experienced. You know what you're doing. That's awesome. What I'm targeting are the new agents who come out of real estate school, who go into a brokerage to hang their license up and start their career off thinking and being trained and brainwashed into thinking that being a real estate agent is you go to school, you get your license, you sign up with a brokerage, and then you buy leads. Where do I buy my leads? That's stupid. That's not being a real estate agent, okay? That's being an employee for those lead companies. So if you're a listing agent, you have more control of your future, you have more control of your business, and you have focus. You're just focused on getting listings. You're an expert. It's less stress, it's more money. Like I said, it's longevity. That's where you should be focusing your time and efforts, especially during a pandemic. And getting into this whole pandemic atmosphere, it's been busy. The market has been crazy busy in most areas of the United States. There are some areas that are not doing as well, that their sales have been going down or prices have been going down. But in other areas, it's like gangbusters. You cannot put a home on the market without having 8 to 10 offers within the first hour. And that's where it gets tricky, where you have very little inventory. Some areas, like my area, less than a month of inventory. And we know if it's 6 months of inventory, that's a healthy market. Anything below 6 months is probably, you know, a seller's market. Anything above the 6 month mark, they like to say, is a buyer's market. A little more pressure on sellers to sell at a lower price, etc. They should be happy to get a buyer. But these days, holy cow, crazy busy. Hard thing is finding the listings. Hard thing is working with the buyer and winning the home of their dreams. Actually getting their offer accepted. How are you doing in those two aspects? Because I see a lot of agents with buyers that are feeling beaten down because they have buyers that come in. Maybe they're out-of-state buyers, and they're coming in, and they see a beautiful home they want to put an offer in. They want to go see it. It's just became, they got the alert, and it's just on the market. And they set up the showing. They show the property the next morning, and there's offers already on the table. Now, that puts them in an awkward position because, let's say, hypothetically, the property was listed at $300,000, and your clients, those buyers, were set at $300,000 price range. Now you have multiple offers. And we're not talking like one or two. You might be like 6, 8, or 10. People are putting offers in sight unseen. So you're competing with those people. And you have no idea about the financial details, whether it's, you know, 20% down, a VA loan, or if they're putting cash down, who are you going up against? And you, as an agent, have to let those buyers know exactly what they may be up against. And this will take away all the blame from you, because they will blame you for not getting the property. They will blame you for hyping it all up. Gorgeous house. Oh, can't you see yourself living here? All your little sales tactics, trying to make them all comfortable with the property in the neighborhood. And then you cannot deliver that home once they're emotionally attached to it. Does that make sense? So for you to be a good agent, this is where your consultant hat comes on. Okay, you're not selling the product anymore. You're not selling that house. You're trying to explain to your clients who you should have a buyer's agency agreement with signed, and you should have their pre-qualification letter in hand. You're explaining to them exactly the pros and the cons of putting an offer in on this property. And not just to get totally emotionally invested into this property. This is what we're up against, Mr. and Mrs. Wojciechowski. We're up against multiple offers. That could be one or two. That could be 10. It's my experience in this market that it's probably more than two or three other offers out there. And I'm sure more are going to come in. Here is a comparative market analysis, which you should be preparing for them to let them know what you feel the price range of that property is. Because remember, if it's financed, they are going to require having an appraisal. Okay? That's going to be out of money pocket for them. So if their offer gets accepted and you tell them it's a $300,000, it's listed at $300,000, here's what my professional opinion is with the multiple offer situation, being on the market for less than 24 hours, would you feel comfortable going at $325,000? And you have to see what they say. You have to make sure that they're qualified to go to $325,000 or a $310,000, which I don't think it would get the property. Another thing you're going to have to, this is where it gets tricky, putting in offers that are over asking because of the appraisal could kill a deal. We all know that. In a hot, crazy market like this with multiple offers, in my area, we have something called a due diligence fee. And it's a fee that a buyer will give a seller once they go under contract. They give them a fee for accepting the offer, and it's good for their due diligence period, meaning their inspection period, okay? But it's non-refundable. It's in the seller's pockets. They can do whatever they want with it. If you go to the closing, actually go ahead and purchase the property, then it'll be deducted from the total owed by the buyer. But if they do not buy that property for any reason, they will lose that due diligence fee. Now you have the due diligence fee and you have an earnest money deposit, two separate things. The earnest money deposit is refundable to the buyer if within the due diligence period, the buyer decides they do not want to buy the property. So they would get the earnest money deposit check back, but they will lose the due diligence fee. So typically, it's tough to say typically, but in past years, that due diligence fee was $200 or $300. That's it. And the earnest money deposit was the $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, depending on the price range of the property. Okay. Today, a home that's worth maybe $300,000, we're seeing due diligence fees at 2,000, 5,000, some cases even $10,000 to show that seller that these buyers are really, really interested, that they'll give you $5,000 in cash via check as a deposit on this property, non-refundable, because they will buy this property if you accept their offer. And then the problem with that, again, is if it does not appraise, if you go over the asking price, if it doesn't appraise, that's where it gets tricky. That's where you have to throw all the cards on the table and really have a heart-to-heart and let your clients know, your buyers know, what could happen, worst case scenario. And are you mentally and emotionally and financially prepared for that to happen? What if that does happen? We go ahead, we get accepted, we put $5,000 down, and the appraisal comes in low, and the sellers are not willing to negotiate on the offer, even though the appraisal came in low. They feel they have four or five other offers as backups. So someone surely will come with cash or make up that money, the difference. So you really have to put your consulting hat on and help them out with that, because you don't want to leave them in a bad situation just to get an offer on the table and go under contract as an agent. Whoop-de-doo. You want to be giving them the best advice that you possibly can, as if they were your family member. That's what a good agent will do. That's what a proactive agent will do. They'll figure out all the pros and all the cons, and they'll put it on the table, sit down with their clients, whether it's via Zoom or on the kitchen table with the mask on. You're giving them all the facts so they can make the best decision for their family moving forward. Because what if the $5,000, that they love it, they're willing to risk it, but now if we lose it, we can't be home shopping for another 6 months until we can recoup that $5,000 with our jobs. So that's the tricky part. That is definitely the tricky part. And the same goes for your seller. If you're the listing agent, you want to have those heart-to-heart talks with your listing agent with all the facts on the table. Once you receive multiple offers, you're going over those offers with a fine-tooth comb. You're really examining those offers. You're critiquing the terms of those offers. As a listing agent, you should be focused on the real estate firm of the buyer's agent. How reputable are they? You should be focused on the financial institution of the buyers who gave them that pre-approval letter. And you may want to check with them as well. You should be checking the terms. When's the closing date? How much time? What's the inspection period, the due diligence period? How much is that due diligence or inspection fee? What about earnest money? All of these things are going to play into whether your client takes that offer or not as a listing agent. Is it a VA loan? Is it an FHA loan? Are we going to have our, if it's a VA loan and they do the appraisal and you don't end up selling the property to that buyer, now that appraisal is going to be stuck with that property for 6 months. Your sellers better know that up front. If it's 100% financing and it's above asking and they're approved for that, and you take it because your sellers are excited about it because it's way above asking, and you let them take that offer without telling them that, well, it is 100% financing, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, there is the problem could occur that those buyers do not have any money for inspected items that need fixing, and they may be asking you for that inspection money to go ahead and fix some of the problems that they deem serious. So you could further be lowering that price. 100% financing sometimes does. There's the odds. There's percentages of these buyers not getting fully funded at the closing. because of a credit discrepancy. That's a possibility. There's a percentage that'll back that up. And it happens with any loan. But when a buyer's not putting any money down, you know, that should be a slight red flag if you have multiple offers. Maybe there's another offer that's a little lower than theirs, but they're at 20% down payment. Or maybe you have a 40% down payment. Or maybe you have a cash offer that can close in 10 days. You really make sure your clients get all the facts when they're looking at multiple offers. And your clients on the buyer's side know all the facts, what they could lose. If they put that offer in above asking, they really have to understand that inspection period. And you as the agent must disclose every inspection item that they should have inspected, depending on the property type and in your area. Septic, well water testing, radon testing, termites, home general inspection. You should even have them have a separate HVAC inspection for the air conditioning if they have that in your area. And if they do not have the funds for that, then you make sure they sign a waiver on those inspections. Very, very important. So they don't come back later and say, you never suggested it. Now there's $7,000 in the hole for a new HVAC system. Believe me, it happens. So I'm trying to help you be a better agent. And I know you can. I hope you're all doing fantastic. I want to end this long overdue podcast episode with how grateful I am that you've been listening to my other episodes. That's fantastic. I want to thank you all that have emailed me over the past 4 or 5 months, encouraging me to do another podcast. I want to thank the continued support of our agents that are in the accountability program. That is still going strong, and I'm very proud of those agents for persevering through a global pandemic and sticking with their business plans and hitting their numbers each week. That's just fantastic, and I'm very, very happy and proud to be a part of your real estate career. Just a small part because you do all the work. And I appreciate you all for being a part of the accountability program. If any of you have any questions, about possibly getting a spot in the accountability program when one does open up, feel free. Don't hesitate to ask your questions as well. Contact me at theproactiverealestateagent@gmail.com. theproactiverealestateagent@gmail.com. Until next time, I wish you all massive success. Please stay safe. Keep your neighbors and friends safe. And I will speak to you all real soon. Take care.